Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Jordan Josloff, the co-founder of 1SM. Good afternoon, Jordan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Mark. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I think we both have some really nice, we're in very nice places in the world. I've got a beautiful sun.
I know. I've been admiring your sunrise. You know, I'm stuck in the cold Northeast, so I thought I would give a little tribute to not only TechStars, but the Statue of Liberty behind me here.
Yes. Yes, it looks very nice. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. So for the last 5 or so years, I was at a company called mParticle, which is a customer data platform. So I joined them in early 2015. I was the 15th employee. I was an SDR, BDR. So I was kind of straddling between actually the sales, operations, and marketing departments as they were growing within mParticle. Helped to write the playbook for the future SDRs and BDRs that ended up joining the company. After doing that for a few years, I moved on to be the first mid-market account executive and built out again, selling into this new vertical for mParticle. It was always an enterprise first software solution. And we wanted to have an offering for medium-sized businesses as well. And so that was a pretty successful endeavor. I did that for a few years. And then I moved on to selling at the enterprise level, proud to say closed some of the biggest deals with the company and a couple new verticals for the business as well. So I would say all in all, it was a tremendous experience to start for a New York City startup, start my career there, 15-person company. It's about 300 people today. I've learned a ton along the way. I owe a lot to just my career to the leadership team at mParticle. I still have a ton of mentors over there. And so I could go on and on. Love the company, love the people there. James, who is a co-founder and CEO of 1SM, came to me for the idea of 1SM about 9 months ago now. And it resonated with me so well. It was a problem that I was experiencing not only in my last year as an enterprise seller at mParticle, but really since I had joined as an SDR. And so to me, I knew there was value across the entire sales funnel, as well as my time on the BD marketing side as well. I could use a solution like this. And so I was really excited about it. I was really excited to go through the TechStars program. And so it was enough to get me to, leave a job I loved during COVID and take a risk. And I'm happy to say that, it's been going well thus far. I'm really excited what the future holds for the company. And it's been an interesting challenge to start a company remote, which I'm sure we're going to get into here in a bit.
Yeah, well, certainly. So why don't we, as long as we're talking about it, why don't you tell us when you joined 1SM, what 1SM stands for, and what your product is and who your target market is.
Thank you. Would love to. So joined in June. 1SM, June of 2020. 1SM stands for One Sales and Marketing Team. What we found is, particularly at B2B SaaS companies, but what we've learned is that it goes beyond the SaaS vertical. Sales and marketing teams just don't work as well together as they should. And we think it's a byproduct of two things. The first is they're goaled differently. It's pretty simple on the sales side. You have a quota, it's cut and dry. You either hit it or you miss it. On the marketing side, brand awareness, it's marketing qualified leads, number of inbounds to your website. So it's a little bit more abstract on how these two teams are gold, but at the end of the day, they're really the revenue generating arm of your business. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they live predominantly in different systems. On the sales side, it's whatever email tool you're using and Salesforce or HubSpot. And on the marketing side, it could be, Facebook ads, Google ads, Twitter ads, Marketo, Pardot, ABM tools, and also Salesforce, right? So Salesforce is kind of, and HubSpot are kind of the conduits, but unfortunately they don't gather data from the, extreme tools that both sales and marketing use. And so what we're aiming to do is integrate with all the different tools from the sales systems, all the different tools from the marketing systems, aggregate that into one location, unify that data, and then provide the leadership from both of those teams data-driven insights on how they should go about building their go-to-market strategy. So instead of just running a subjective sales play or blanket account-based marketing ad campaign, there really, we believe, should be a cadence between both sales and marketing in their touch points to prospects. And there really should just be a data-driven way to take someone from knowing nothing about your business to being interested, to being taking a meeting, and then being ultimately a customer. That's the grand idea.
Very interesting. And I'm just curious, do most of your customers, like, are they startups? Are they SMB or are they enterprise?
It's a great question. We conducted around 250 market research calls, ranging from enterprises, some Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, startups between the Series B to Series D size, where you have an employee base between 50 to 300, and then tech stars companies and startups. And it's great to hear that, you know, this problem, this disconnect really exists at all levels. Mm. And so for our beta customers that we're starting off with, we believe that the sweet spot is these high growth startups between Series B and Series D that have between 50 to 300 employees. They've gotten some traction early on thus far. It's been pretty much like hand cranking to get to this point of maybe 1 million in revenue, maybe 3-5 million in revenue. And the unfortunate truth is that what gets you to 1 mil or 10 mil ARR isn't going to get you to a 50 or 100, right? Mm-hmm. We all know this. And not only does your business need to change, but your buyers change, the market changes, the industry changes. And unfortunately, when you're not looking at the data constantly within the different sales and marketing systems, you actually lag behind the market. And so we think that we can start off with these Series B companies, the D size companies, but we actually have a decent amount of enterprises that are interested as well in rolling out different instances of 1SM across their different product lines, which we think is a pretty exciting opportunity as well. Yes. But I would say over the next 6 months, we're going to focus on high growth startups.
Okay, cool. And just, I mean, high growth startups or even startups, generally there's one person is in charge of sales and marketing. And you get into the bigger companies, you have a chief sales officer and a chief marketing officer, and they don't always get along.
Totally.
Do you find that a lot? I mean, it would seem like your product will help with that, right?
Exactly right. I would say, you know, if there's just one person, like the Techstars companies maybe that are owning sales and marketing, it's just a little bit too early. There needs to be divisions. There needs to be whole departments that are run. And then that creates silos. Mm-hmm. And so exactly to your point, I think the pain is felt more at the enterprise level. We're already actually underway of building out SOC 2 security compliance, which is really a prerequisite to working with some of these larger companies. Mm-hmm. So that's also part of the reason that we're kind of slating the enterprise for the back half of 2021. But yeah, I mean, I think it's some of these startups where you have a sales team of maybe 10 account executives, sales leader, a couple SDRs, and then you have, you know, demand gen marketing, event marketing, email marketing teams led by a CMO. There's quite a bit of division there as well. And so I think solving that early on is an exciting challenge for us.
Yes. Whenever you can blame someone else, you will.
Exactly. Right. And you can blame someone else because the data, you're looking at different systems. The data doesn't line up. You take the data in your CRM with a grain of salt. And you know what? People just chalk it up to, we can't tell because we don't really have a holistic view of what's going on, not for our customer base, but in our internal sales and marketing system. So that's what we're trying to solve for.
Very interesting. So you mentioned something earlier. You'd started in June. So you came on to this company. It was 100% remote, I'm assuming.
It was.
And was that difficult to all of a sudden just start with a new company and, like, I'm assuming you're working from someone's home?
Yeah. You know what the funny thing is so there's myself and we have two other co-founders. James is the CEO. Chris is leading the engineering team. I had never met Chris before joining the company in person, which I think is kind of, you know, if you had asked someone a few years ago, would you, you know, quit a job you love to start a company with someone you never met? They'd think you're insane. But COVID changes everything or changed everything. And so I would say this, it almost made, to be totally honest, the decision to leave Amparticle a little bit easier because I actually missed going into the office. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to go into the office, see friends and colleagues as much. And that was a part of my job that I loved. And we did a lot outside the office together as well that was gone. I actually, like many people, I'm sure, moved out of my apartment in New York City to, you know, relocate and stay at my parents while I forego a salary and start this thing. And so to me, it was a time where, you know, we're going to have to cut back on a lot of social gatherings. And so if that's the case, now almost is easier to say, okay, salary is not needed, living at home with my parents, I can take a little bit more of a risk. Mm-hmm. On the business side, it was a little bit, I would say, nerve-wracking to start a company with someone you've never met. And then the hiring process, which I know you want to talk about, was a little interesting as well. But, you know, Zoom is a great tool. Video chatting is a great tool. You can certainly get a sense of someone through enough Zooms, not off of one, I think, but that was enough to get me to jump ship.
Well, good. And interestingly, I have a son who did the same thing as you. He was living in Midtown Manhattan. Nice. And he recently moved to Austin, but he lived with me for 6 months.
I'm sure you were thrilled for that. For 6 months is a good period of time.
Yes, I was happy when he came, and I was a little bit relieved when he went. And
right.
Then he left, but it's okay. Now he's moving to Austin. He's starting his life.
Right. 6 months is fine. Longer than that, you know, you start to go a little bit insane.
Yeah, and we got to play golf together and do some things together that
beautiful.
We wouldn't have done.
That's like I like to think of the silver lining. For you know, through all this is more family time. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Now, if I could get my daughter to do the same, but she's married, it might be a little harder.
That's a tough cookie.
Yes. So, what do you think is going to be the future of remote employment now that it's here to stay? I mean, do you for one SM and two for companies in general?
I think the future of remote, I mean, I think you see the big tech companies aren't opening up their offices anytime soon. So if I had to say at a macro level, I think the shift away from cities will continue. I think that the ability to hire remote workers across the entire country will continue and just more job offerings for remote employees. I mean, tools like Slack and Zoom and really all future of work software is great. And I think it's allowed, I mean, you look at the US economy in general to continue to function. We're talking about tech companies, right? Not small businesses here. And the tech companies can rely on this software to keep doing business. And I think that's a good thing. What my biggest takeaway is that as great as Zoom is, and as you know, some of these like virtual conferences that I've attended, they just simply can't replace
right.
A dinner or a meetup or, you know, a big conference, you know, out in Las Vegas or something, right? Like there's nothing that can replicate a handshake and talking over a beer, in my opinion. And I think that will return in mass when, you know, we get through this pandemic. Pandemics end. This mm-hmm. will be over at some point in time. And when it does end, I do think business travel will pick back up. I think cities will rebound ultimately. And I think we'll get back to some sense of normalcy. I think what will remain is the remote employees. I think there will be a fraction between, you know, offices will probably downsize. And I wouldn't be surprised if some companies had a system where it's like you're in office, a hybrid system where in office 3 days a week, maybe remote 2 days a week, some system like that. Because I do think people that enjoy kind of like, you know, not being in the office 5 days a week, 24/7, 365. So.
No,
I think there's a few takeaways that will happen.
No, I agree. I think you're right. I think it'll, you know, it's funny because I live in San Francisco and for me to get into the city during normal business hours takes at least an hour. So I lose 2 hours a day. When you do that three times a week, that doesn't seem as bad as five times a week.
Right. And then you get the best of both worlds, right? You get to see your friends and colleagues, you get to do everything, you know, in person socially, but then at the same time, you save a little bit of time, 2 days a week. You avoid the rush hour traffic. So there's got to be some good to come from all this, right?
Yes, I think so. So, well, I think some already has. There's been, you know, pros and cons to everything. So 1SM, so you being a co-founder, you probably will be hiring people in the future. Do you see yourself going back into Manhattan, or do you think you're going to just spread out around the country and around the world with employees?
I think it's a great question. Ultimately, probably remains to be seen. I think we will want to be having an office space in New York City and Manhattan when things are back to normal. Until that point, we'll continue to hire remotely. I've made one business hire or someone who, again, never met in person. She reached out to me through LinkedIn, reviewed her resume, got on a few Zoom calls, had her, you know, meet with the rest of the team. And that was the process. You know, we're a really early company. We're still not investing a lot of resources. We're not actively hiring, but it was a no-brainer and it made a ton of sense to bring her on. Moving forward, we were fully remote and I think we're gonna remain fully remote for 2021. Mm. I would envision 2022 is when we would hope to open up a New York City office.
Very good. Well, best of luck with that. And where does she live by chance?
Thank you. She was over in Jersey. So, you know, I'm in Philly. She's in Jersey. We have someone in Connecticut. We have someone in New York City. And we have a few developers in India and the Ukraine. So we're a global company now.
Yes, you are. And you're dealing with different time zones.
Yes. Yes. That's a challenge in and of itself.
I know. I've done it.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it's easier to have everyone in one office, one time zone as an early company. You know, it's you know, you look at the, you know, some of the really successful companies that were started in someone's garage or basement. They're, you know, pulling late nights and doing all these things together, and we're kind of doing that but separated, you know, over Zoom, and it's just a little bit different. Yeah. So I think I would say the hardest challenge is building culture remotely. And that's something that we talk about, and we've done a few things that I think are fun and interesting, but again, hard to replace having, you know, an actual office space and having people meet up in person.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as long as you brought up starting things in garages, next time you're in the Bay Area, I'll take you to Palo Alto.
I'd love to.
To the garage where HP started.
The Mecca.
Yep. So it's pretty well known in the Bay Area. So, well, Jordan, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. I literally wish 1SM all the luck in the world. I think you don't need luck. I think you guys seem to have your act together, and I think you're going to do great. So have a great 2021.
Thank you, Mark. And let me say, I wish the same for Gaper as well. I see what you guys have been doing lately in the news, and it's pretty exciting stuff. And so maybe we'll be able to do business together down the road.
Maybe. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.